Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
Hey, we're back. It's America's Workforce. And don't forget, we are available on various platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the fine folks at the Ohio Federation of Teachers, OFT-AFT.org is a website. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars, always on the first Friday of each and every month. Mr. Dorsey Hager joins us on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades. Their Twitter handle, Build Central OH. Mr. Hager, welcome back to the show. How are we doing today?
Great. How are you doing? Happy Friday. Looking
Happy
forward
Friday.
To the weekend.
I know. And we're waiting for this election to be over. Yeah, well, it seems to be going Biden's way. I don't want to jinx anything, but we'll keep our eye on that. Let's start off with Central Ohio. I know you have your hand on things down there, and you're real good at gauging the political pulse, especially in Central Ohio. State of Ohio, we got a little work to do, but let's concentrate on the Columbus area. How did we do here? On Tuesday.
So Franklin County, for people who are unfamiliar with Franklin County in Columbus, Ohio, Franklin County, led by the Democratic Party, led by Chairman Mike Sexton, and some people within the party, obviously the mayor, Andrew Ginther, County Commissioner John O'Grady, who, on a side note, incredibly one of the best pro-labor electeds. I would put him up against anybody in the state. He's just solid. But he texted me early Wednesday morning, and you know, things looked pretty bleak for the vice president. And the commissioner texted me, and he said, "Hey," he said, "keep an eye on Georgia." He says the vice president's going to win Georgia, and I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "Trust me." He's like, "You know, DeKalb, Fulton, a lot of absentee ballots. The vice president's going to win Georgia." So started digging into it a little bit, and you know, 2.5 days later now, and you're starting to see the vice president's pulled into a lead. We'll see if he holds it. They're still counting votes, but we'll see if he holds it. So, but the Franklin County Democratic Party, led by those gentlemen, and then Brian Clark, it is a machine. It is well oiled there at early vote. The lit drops, the sample ballots, the rigorous screening and vetting and prepping of candidates. So what has happened in Franklin County, and it's been a huge reverse in the last 25 years. Franklin County and Columbus used to be pretty Republican in the early 90s. Now Franklin County is going to be and is hugely Democratic. We had some incredible friends on the Republican side at the county level and judicial. Rob Montgomery, who was probate judge, a Republican, tremendous probate judge, probably one of the top probate judges in the state. He's had a nice career. He was defeated by Jeff Mackey, a couple of other of our endorsed Republican sitting judges, Dana Price, who I think has been on the bench for 24 years, Gina Russo, and Jennifer French. They were defeated by Democrats. And Democrats in Franklin County swept every office that their name appeared on the ballot, except for two races. One of them, Laura Lanise in the southwest corner of Franklin County, she's the only Republican state house, in the House of Representatives. She defeated a very tough challenge from Nancy Dea-Cower. Laura Lanise, obviously no friend of ours, no friend of labor. Pro-right to work against prevailing wage. But a large part of that district is Grove City, which is still very, very red, even though it's in Franklin County. So she's going to hold on to her seat. The other Republican is a great friend of labor, a personal friend of mine. It's on the west side of the county. It's Senator Stephanie Coonsey. Stephanie Coonsey's election, the votes are in. She won by 41 votes. So obviously that's going to trigger a recount. There's provisional.
Oh, yeah.
There's some military votes, so we'll see what happens with that. I would say probably about 10 to 14 days, we'll know about that. But a lot of our friends, like I said, on the Republican side here in Franklin County, the Democratic machine just wiped them out. And the biggest casualty of all is somebody who's been endorsed by the Columbus Building Trades for probably 45 years. He was city attorney for a while. Then he was a county prosecutor, is Ron O'Brien. So Gary Tyack, a retired appeals court judge here, took on Ron O'Brien, and he defeated Ron O'Brien. So it looks like that's probably going to be the end of a very long and very illustrious career for Ron O'Brien, who, like I said, has been a tremendous friend, not only the building trades, but of labor. And he's a son of union members. And so that was a little hard to take, but you know, those things happen. On the Democratic side, we had a lot of great friends that kept their seats. I mentioned Commissioner John O'Grady, Commissioner Kevin Boyce, who's really, really worked his butt off, along with Commissioner O'Grady and Commissioner Brown, with us on the building futures, the driving futures and pathways to the middle class, and helping people in poverty here. He did a tremendous job. We're really proud of him. We had a couple Democrats that ran unopposed, our Sheriff Dallas Baldwin, our county recorder, Danny O'Connor, who Danny O'Connor, remember, ran for Congress 2 years ago and almost unseated Troy Balderson. Danny O'Connor is a tremendous friend of the building trades. Doesn't matter where he's speaking at, whether it's downtown Chamber of Commerce, a labor union, a 4-H picnic, whatever, he always mentions union labor. So the ceiling's very high for him. He ran unopposed. He kept his seat. So very proud of him. Yeah, just a lot happening. All the Democrats in the state house kept their seats. We had a couple of friends who ran for judge that we're very proud of. Chris Brown and David Young were reelected. Chris Brown got over 300,000 votes in the county. That was the most by any person on the judicial. Lachelle Stroud was elected judge first time. She's the son of a union member. Her father's a firefighter here in the city of Columbus. So very proud of her. And then last but not least, Carl Aveni, tremendous friend of the building trades. He ran 2 years ago. He lost his common pleas race 2 years ago by 2,700 votes, and I think there was about 600,000 ballots cast. He won this week, so he worked his butt off. Very proud of him. But, yeah, the local front, I mean, I think the Franklin County Board of Elections did an incredible job. They started releasing early vote and provisional ballots at about 8:30. And I'm sorry, early vote and mail-in ballots at about 8:30, and then every 15 minutes they were updated. By about 10:15, it seemed like the count was complete. And, you know, outside of the Stephanie Kunze, Crystal Lett race, I would say that everything's going to be certified without problem. We're going to have a recount in that race, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Quite a machine down there in Central Ohio. You know what I'd like to see? I'd take that and run it statewide. Maybe we could get a better outcome in Ohio.
You're absolutely right, and I know your show is based out of Cleveland, but I had dinner with a couple of friends of mine Wednesday night, and we scheduled this about a month ago, and they said, is this smart to schedule this? We might all be in a bad mood. And I said, good mood or bad mood, we're going to have dinner, and we're going to post-game this a little bit. And one of my friends, big labor leader, Anthony Caldwell, he immediately tweeted Tuesday night after the results in Ohio were final, and I'm going to butcher the tweet, but basically the gist was shame on Frank Jackson and shame on Marsha Fudge and anybody else who does not work their butt off to push the Democratic ticket and Democratic turnout, because everything we're reading is votes were down in Cuyahoga County again, which means that the push just wasn't there. And okay, I don't disagree with my friend Anthony Caldwell, but my conversation at dinner was this. And people have said this to me, is one, let's figure out what's working in Franklin County. Let's try to duplicate it statewide. And two, the old playbook of run the numbers up in Hamilton, Montgomery, Lucas, Cuyahoga, and Franklin, and then withstand the red wave, say that three times fast, and the rest of the rural counties is not working. We got to get into the rural counties. We can't keep getting pounded 90-10. We got to get the vote out. We've got to appeal to a lot of those voters. And I don't know how we do it. Somebody a lot smarter than me at the state level is going to have to figure that out. But like I said to you off air, and a couple of people have kind of rolled their eyes at me, but we are no longer Purple Ohio. We are Indiana East. This is a red state.
Yep.
This is a red state.
Well, you're really going far calling it Indiana East, buddy. Yikes.
It is. I mean, it really is. I mean, you look over there, wow, the things they're doing, and you look, I mean, you know, and you mentioned this off air, too. We have Sherrod Brown, you know, who does a great job and is very popular across the state. And I think even some of these candidates across the state level can learn from his message. You know, people want to hear about education. They want to hear about workforce development. They want to hear about the path to the middle class. They want to hear about the dignity of work. And I think, you know, I think those messages resonate with people on both sides of the aisle. Some of the ideas and some of the beliefs of how we get there may be different, but I think that's the huge messaging. And, you know, I live in a red county, one county outside of Franklin, in Union County, and a tremendous, a great friend of mine, Tony Ufinger, ran for county commissioner in Union County. And, I mean, his signs were everywhere. His signs were in yards where there were Trump signs. Tony's the Democrat. He raised a lot of money. He was on the radio. He was on the social media. He was shaking hands. He was out every weekend. He was door knocking. And a friend of mine who understands these red counties and these races, and they're like, wow, that's great. You know, maybe he'll only lose 55-45 instead of 60-40. And I'm like, no, he's going to win. Sure enough, 60-40. You know, a lot of people in these red counties, we've got to work on the messaging. We've got to figure out what used to work in eastern Ohio, what used to work in north central or in west central Ohio, and the Miami Valley. We got to figure out why those counties went Democrat to Republican and what the messaging is, and how we talk to those people and how we convey, you know, because it doesn't matter. And we've talked about this on the local level, on the state level, on the national level. One party politics are not good for anybody.
Nope. Not at all. Not at all. Got to work together. So important. All right, let's move on. I understand that you have an update on a video, the Building Futures, Driving Futures. What's the latest there?
Yeah, so our Building Futures and Driving Futures programs, we're still having tremendous, tremendous success. We've had a lot of people in the community that have played a big part in that, and obviously the county is incredibly happy about that. We've talked about the path to the middle class and getting people out of poverty. So we're trying to do what we can to promote these programs. One, to let people know that there is a plan, there is something being done by the Columbus Building Trades and our members to help people in our community, but also too, to let people in the community know about these programs. So the Franklin County Commissioners, and then Ken Wilson, the Deputy Administrator, Joy Bivens, we all got together and we shot some testimonials of some of our people who are in Building Futures, some of our people who have graduated from Building Futures, BMA, tremendous job producing the video, all the footage and everything. And, you know, we got all the, like they say, we got all the film in the can now. We got to edit it, put it together. Then we've got to distribute it. We're going to have it on social media. We're going to have it on our website. We're going to get it on the Franklin County website, City of Columbus website. We're going to get it to Columbus City Schools and area schools here in Franklin County, make sure that they show it to some of the kids. But it just basically outlines what the building trades does, how you can get into the Building Futures program, get into an apprenticeship program, the work that's involved, and the benefits that can be gained at the end. So we're really excited about it. I spent 3 whole days with the BMA video crew. We were shooting jobs. We were shooting the outside of jobs. Like I said, we were doing testimonials, not only the kids in the program and graduates and kids that are getting ready to graduate from apprenticeship programs that went through Building Futures, but we also had members of the community, Derek Clay, Nana Watson, president of the NAACP, come in, give testimonials. And, you know, Nana Watson, president of the NAACP, probably had the line that'll stick out in the video. The catchphrase is that, you know, the Building Futures program is building futures. And I think that's what we're doing. So we're finally starting to, not finally, we're getting some publicity out of this thing. We're going to push it. We're going to try to see if we can help more kids in the year 2021, because the workload, I know we've talked about it, is tremendous here with all the data center work, the Amazons, the Facebooks, the Googles, sure, OSU Medical Center. Just incredible. And then on the other side, the Driving Futures, I just got off the phone with Josh Kincaid over at the Teamsters. It's amazing how many CDL drivers he needs for UPS, Columbus Distributing, Coca-Cola, Sigma, who delivers all the produce to the Subways and the Wendy's. And, you know, those are jobs where people can come in, have their CDL, clean driving record, can start right off making $74,000 a year and upwards of $140,000 a year and be home every night with their families. So tremendous opportunities that we're trying to share with some people here in the county and in the city, especially some people who come from some of these disenfranchised neighborhoods where they've never been exposed to some of these opportunities that can help them get themselves and their family out of generational poverty.
Yeah, I'm glad we're going the video route. If you want to capture young people's imaginations, you got to go video. You got to show them what's going on. And that's a good move, and I have to salute BMA. BMA, of course, is the producer of America's Workforce. You know, Dorsey, we're just about out of time. I want to join Mike Nisley here, but real quick, I know you wanted to talk about organizing nonprofits, and I see Habitat for Humanity. Are you trying to organize that organization? What's the story there?
We're not, but as we see nonprofits in the city and the county trying to help people, we're seeing some things that are happening where some of the people who work for these nonprofits are not being taken care of or given the dignity of work. So the one story I wanted to share with you, and people can go online, they can read about it, they can go to the Columbus Dispatch, is there's a nonprofit here, Habitat for Humanity, and everybody knows what they do, the building of houses and some other things that they help. Well, during the pandemic, a lot of their employees, their pay was cut, their hours were reduced, and things like that. But the people at the top level, you know, the CEO, you know, their hours weren't reduced, their pay wasn't reduced. So it wasn't that they were organized. I think that they went out and kind of organized themselves, I guess. But the people in the office of Habitat for Humanity went out, found a union, talked to the organizers at the union. That gentleman contacted me because he wasn't a local person, wanted some background on Habitat for Humanity, wanted some background on the political climate here in Columbus, Central Ohio, especially as it comes to organizing. I put him in touch with some of our elected leaders, some of them very pro-union, that were able to kind of help him steer the ship too. And as of now, they have card check, and they will be becoming union members, and he will be negotiating a contract on their behalf. So it's something that we need to keep in touch on, and we need to check out. And if this works, I've had this conversation with Mark Fluharty from the Central Labor Council and a couple of members, organizers from the SEIU and some other local unions. I think that this is something that they should look at and they should be working to, because like I said, a lot of these nonprofits raise a lot of grant money. They get federal money, they get state money, they get city money, and a lot of them do good work and are helping a lot of the working poor or people in Columbus and Central Ohio who are in poverty. But then you talk to some of their employees and you understand the long hours they work with not, you know, very good wages or benefits. It makes you kind of sad, and there's got to be something to be done, something to be looked at on that side. And I hope that Mark Fluharty, which I know he will in the Central Labor Council, I hope some of those people start doing that, and they take a page from this organizing drive at Habitat for Humanity and start looking at some of these others.
That's great. All starts with a phone call, and you got some very, very positive results there. Very, very good. All right, Dorsey, I'm going to leave it on that note. Dorsey Hager, who is the executive director of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org is the website. You take care, be safe, and I'm sure we'll have a whole lot more to talk about next month, okay?
We will, Flash. We're at the midway break. The Browns got a bye this week. They're 5-3. We're halfway there, so that translates to 10-6. Maybe we get a win here or there. We're not supposed to, and we're on our way, so I'm excited. The weather's changing, which I don't like, but we're getting deeper into football season, so I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about next time.
Hey,
thanks so much, Flash. Have a good weekend.
I'll take the 70s this weekend here in Northeast Ohio, okay?
I heard that. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.